He lives. He's alive. And today I want you to know. I want you to know like you've never known before. I have one prayer for this day. If you don't know, he wants to know you, that you might leave here knowing that he wants to know you, and that you might receive the life and power that God gives. You know, a lot of you are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in here. Some people get a little excited at Hillview over the years. You know, we crank up the drums and we dance and we shout and we holler. And I grew up in a church where they said, now, Reverend, you need to be reserved. You see, they take the term reverend and they think it means to be silent. I take the term reverend and say it means revved up. That he's what? Alive. And I don't know about you. I don't know anything else that's alive. I don't know anything else that's alive. I'm going to show you. It's amazing. The same things that were going on at Jesus' day are right now. It just blows my mind. His name causes trouble. Isn't it amazing? In our culture, you can talk about any other religious group. You can talk about Allah. And everybody says, oh, be careful what you say about Allah. We don't want to offend the Muslims. You can talk about the Hindu gods. There's so many of them. There's a lot to talk about. You can talk about Buddha. You know, he's kind of cool. He's just laid back. Let's get in the way. And nobody says a word. Have you noticed? Nobody flinches. Whoa. You want to crank this world up. You want to see Bill Maher's hair stand on top of his head. You want to see Chris Matthews without a tingle in his leg. Mention the name Jesus. Why does the name Jesus cause so much controversy? I would like for you to contemplate that on this Resurrection Day. Why does that name stir people up? You know why? It's the name above what? All other names. And here's why. It's the only name I know that'll get out of death. It's the only name I know that'll get out of death. You know what I love about Jesus? I don't know how you do this, but Jesus, he's the only guy I know that rents a tomb. I mean, if you look at the scripture, he borrowed a tomb from Joseph. I mean, can you imagine me going over to Kirby's? Saying, hey, Kevin, we've known each other for a long time. I need to know what your 3-day rate is. They're going to bury me on Friday, but I'm going to be up on Sunday. Kevin will look at me and he said, Ayers, you lost your mind a long time ago, but now you've absolutely lost your mind. I want to tell you just a few things. The first thing I want you to know is that God comes through. How many of y'all realize God comes through? And I don't want to pick on us humans. I just want to be real with where we are. We don't always come through. That's just one of the things we can't do. We can't always come through. We make a lot of promises, but we don't always fulfill the promise. How many of y'all have a problem with that? I've told my wife things I was going to fix around the house, and we've been married over 20-something years, and those things aren't fixed yet. But I made a promise, honey, in the morning I'll take care of that. And never got taken care of. And nor, honey, will it ever, because I'm not Jesus. But let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. When he says it will, it will. Now, I want to show you some unusual things in Scripture. I want to give you, DeMonte, some unusual observations from a dead man. If you go with me to Matthew chapter 27, toward the end of that chapter, around verse 65, there's an interesting happening. A very interesting happening. Why do you guard a dead man? I didn't think dead people cause a lot of trouble. You know, people are sorrowful and they miss you, or at least you hope they do. But Jesus is dead and he's been buried and the government is on edge. Pilate is edgy. I wonder if he could be who he says he is.
Because Jesus kept saying strange things like this. He said, you destroy the temple, I'll build it back in 3 days. He said, this is the will of my Father. I will not be with you long, and there will be a time that I will be destroyed. But on the third day, what? I'll rise again. Well, let me tell you what Pilate was looking for, because I want you to think about this for a moment. Pilate was looking for the fourth day. John Paul Pilate wanted the fourth day real bad. He wanted to make sure that on the fourth day, Jesus was still there. But we got a problem. How many of y'all are fourth day people instead of third day people? Still living like he didn't get up. Still living like he was only crucified. Still living like something didn't happen. Just passing by life. No, this happened. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, you need to understand, I'm an intellectual. And I cannot intellectually comprehend a dead person getting up. Well, guess what? Let me help you. You're correct. Intellectually, you can't get this. I mean, today I would be arrested. The sheriff would come get me if I was standing over the graveside of my loved ones going, get up! The sheriff would go, we finally got to take him in. The papers would read, Ayers lost it. We all knew. This message has this kind of cultural impact. But it's amazing to me. Why do you guard a dead man? Because he might get out. You know what I mean? He just might get out. Now let's think how ridiculous this looks. Pilate gives the instruction. He said, go seal the tomb. Put a big rock in front of the tomb. What happens? Dead people walk? Dead people leave tombs? Who has ever seen a dead man walk again? Yet Pilate is in fear over Jesus's possibility. Which is that has application for us today. Guess what? Some of you today need to make a move out of the tomb into God's reality. How many of y'all live in what God might do instead of what God is doing? See, a lot of people come to church hoping God might do it. Some of you come here because you know God is doing it. Makes sense? He is changing my life. He is giving me the possibility in the midst of impossible. So here's what I want you to know. Jesus comes through and people know it. I'm just proposing a question to you. Is that why people sweat at his name? Is that why he brings a little tension in? I mean, you wouldn't believe it. All over the world, I go, I'm a follower of Jesus. We've heard about you people. I said, really, what have you heard? And they'll give off a list of things they've heard, none of them true. I said, let me tell you what it is. Did you realize that Jesus was the Son of God and he'll forgive anybody in this house today? How many of y'all realize that's the truth? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Now, some of you are going intellectually now, Ayers, do you know what I've done? No, I really don't. Well, I know what some of you done because I've been with you. I don't know what all of you done, but guess what? I know we've done enough things wrong that we need Jesus to save us. How many of y'all know that much? Here's what I do know. We do things wrong. How many of y'all do things wrong? Go ahead and tell your neighbor. Just go ahead and confess to him on this Resurrection Sunday morning. I've done something wrong. Go ahead and tell him. Just see how that sounds. Come on. I've done something. John, I've done something wrong. What about you? John has moved up to a bunch. I've done something wrong. Oh, yep, country, you've done something wrong. I've done something wrong. Huh? We've done what? Now, what? Wow. You all just confessed sin and broke out in laughter. How'd that happen? He's what? Risen. Now, no. We guarded the tomb. They rolled a stone in front of the tomb. They placed military personnel in front of the tomb. I want you to get there on this scene. Can you imagine driving by Bowling Green Gardens or Fairview Cemetery, and you see a grave with concrete blocks stopped over the top of it, the best we could seal it, and you see military personnel on the four corners of the grave, two on each side of the grave, strapped on with their M16s because we're worried on Sunday morning somebody's going to get out of there. Now you see the reality of this message. I want you to hear me. God comes through, and here's where we got to embrace God. In fact, what we must do is allow God to embrace us. Now I want you to hear me. I'm going to call some things out. I want you to know that God is not an entertainer. He's a savior. And preachers ought to not be entertainers, but they ought to be saviors. I want you, they ought to be messengers of the Savior. Let me be clear. The preachers can't save you, that's for sure. Ask Elizabeth. God will come through. Can you hear that right now? Who will come through? Now let's get real. Let's get honest. I don't know about you. I just know about my humanity. I don't always come through. I look at my children. Did I always come through for them? No. Have they always come through for me? Clancy? No. But has God always come through? No. Listen. Has God always come through? I want you to hear the voice of His people. Has God always come through?
Yes.
Here's the facts. Why is a government scared of a dead Jew? The power of Rome, the riches of Rome, the technology of Rome, the importance of Rome, the dominance of Rome, the Caesar who proclaimed himself God in Rome is scared of a dead rabbi. You know why? Deep down inside, even for those of us who oppose him, know he's possible. And this message is unstoppable. You see, that's what some of us followers need to grab hold on to. You know what we want to do? We want to be friends of this world. And Jesus said, those who are friends of this world are enemies of mine. Because I want to tell you, there's only one way to salvation. I'm going to tell you again, just so you make sure, because I love especially all you young people. You can feed all the hungry people in the world, and all you're going to have is well-fed people going to hell. You can clothe all the naked folk in the world, and all you're going to have is well-robed people going to hell. You can make sure that you negotiate and there's no capital punishment in any prison and all the prison sentences are just to the crime. And after you let all the prisoners free, they will be confined to the damnation of hell. Because Jesus has one message. You and I will be raised from the dead if we follow him. You know what I'm looking at? I'm not looking at people who go to church. Oh, man, I gave up on that a long time ago. You're talking about gross church people. That's one of the grossest things I know. They walk around with a sealed tomb. They say things like this. Shh, shh, shh. In fact, when I grew up in church, I thought that was a part of worship. Shh. I grew up in first, shush me. In fact, I didn't want to be with God when I was a child because God was a huge shusher. Joe, I bet you got shushed a couple of times over at Greenville, didn't you? How many of y'all ever got your head thumped in church? Thus, look how little my ears are. So I was growing up in church. People in my church thumped me in the ear to make me be quiet during worship. They shushed me. Hold on, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a shusher or a shouter? You see, the world says, shh, be quiet, don't mention his name. The Bible says, shout it from the mountaintop. He is God. Sing a new song. Dance a new dance. Even white people. So here's what you can embrace. God will make the impossible possible. Somebody asked me, when do you think white people will get rid of them? When we all get to heaven. Doesn't want to get it. But right now we got to shout. We got to sing. We got to welcome. We got to know why in the world is Rome scared of Jesus. Some of you today entered in with great caution. Said, I'm coming to Hillview. Wonder what they'll do today. It'll be crazy in there. You know why? Because I'm not looking at church people. I'm looking at dead people that have come to life. And they're not zombies.
They're what? Alive. New creatures. Filled with love and joy and grace and peace and God's possibilities. Let me tell you what happened. The women took off early in the morning. Isn't it amazing, women? Who got up? Where's the disciples? And mad. Because the women got up and they don't have a cup of coffee. When did the women get up? Hold on, this is important that you note this detail. When did the women get up? They were there at the time Jesus said he'd be back. What did they do? They believed. Now watch, let me show you something about believing. They didn't wear bumper stickers and start, I believe in the third day movement. They didn't have a he'll be back in 3 days conference. They didn't spend a buku of money making sure they printed shirts. He said he would. Now that's the American church of today. And quite honestly, it is about reached in my life to the point of such nausea of the things we do in the name of Jesus that I thank God that he's merciful. I'm sure that he's tired of seeing pastors on rock star posters and advertisements that talk more about us and very little about him. He's not impressed. In fact, he's nauseated. So how can you talk so boldly? I read the book. And he said, those who are lukewarm nauseate me. And those who follow me shall be my disciples. I love these women. A tribe of Marys. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary the mother of Joseph. And all kinds of Marys go to the tomb. And they get there early in the morning. When did they get there? In the what? And guess what they find? Yep, you're right, because God does what he says he's going to do. And if God says third day, it's third day. And if God says you shall be saved, you will be saved. And if God says your inheritance is heaven, then guess what? Your inheritance is in heaven. And if God says, be careful down here, this doesn't last long, what do we need to do? Be careful down here, this doesn't what? How many of y'all are already older than you thought you would be at this period of time? Me too. I'm looking around this summer going, wow, I look different than I did a few summers ago. I saw some old pictures. My territory has increased over the years. Now let me tell you what's different. And I don't care. Blessed be the name of who? Jesus. So they went and made the tomb secure. But early in the morning, verse 1, Matthew 28, after the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. You see, they went to look at a what? In belief. Now be careful. They were looking for what happened instead of what's happening. How many of y'all get up early in the morning to look at what happened? Let me help you with something. God is awake, he's alive, and he's moving. He's in motion. I hear this all the time. People say, well, back in the biblical days. There's no back in the biblical days. These are still biblical days. There's more to come. How many of y'all glad to know that we follow a God? That every day you wake up, he goes, and more to come. God does not do that, you know, cartoon thing. That's all, folks. We're not at that moment. We're at more to come, yet to be, will be. God's possibilities unleashed. Follow me. There was a violent earthquake. That doesn't sound like a shushy God to me. It doesn't sound like Jesus gently moved the stone away. I hear that in those songs, you know. Jesus gently moved. It's a stone! Angel came down and made noise. You know why people don't like me? I read the Bible. Not the Hallmark version either. Not the little Baptist modification version where we make everything clean and nice without dirt and sweat and toil and spirit and power and earthquakes. I like a God that shakes it up. Look at what God does. The angel comes. Look what he says. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone. And guess what the angel did? He sat on it. Hold on. This is significant. Angels can sit on what men commend. Pretty cool, isn't it? Rome in all its power said, seal it. God in all his authority said, move it.
It took one angel to do what a whole government had to do.
I don't know about you, but as I look at the world I get to live in today, we need some angels. We've tried politicians. I'm betting on angels. We need some people that can actually do it and not bumper stick it. We need more than rhetoric. We need reality. Isn't that the difference between God and who? Us. I can say it, but I can't make it happen. Like I could say this, I'm going to give y'all some money. And if you believe that, you are a sucker. Because guess what? I can't do that. But I can do this. There's a God that will work what is impossible in you and make it possible in you. Rolled away the stone. Why? Why did he roll away the stone? Do you ever think, why did he roll away the stone? Because the tomb is no place for a living God. I mean, I'm glad. I love this. This is why I get asked, why do you follow Jesus? He doesn't like graves. It's my number one reason. I don't know another God that got up, do you? Buddha, he's out. Even Muhammad and all of his great prophecy, he's dead. There's no story of stones, tombs, and resurrections. There's just words from a man that lived in history. But Jesus got up, got out. Now you want me to give you the good news? He wants to take us with him. How many of y'all are glad about that? Well, the angels appeared. There's an earthquake. There's some trauma. There's some drama going on. How many of y'all realize that we have a God of drama? I mean, God's pretty cool. I mean, he gives Spielberg a run for his money. You know, God parts the Red Sea. He could have built a bridge, but he parts the Red Sea. I like that. You know, God could have just gently lifted Jesus out of the tomb, and he said, y'all want to know who I am? You think you got a powerful government? One angel equals the totality of all you can do. I am God, and I want to be with you. That's the message of the resurrection. I am God, and I want to be with you. Jesus didn't stay dead because God raised him up, and God put him in motion, and he meets those who he loves. Angel, his appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. Let me help you. They traded places. Those who live in power, who think they've accomplished at the name of Jesus, every one of them will become like dead people. And those of us who were foolish enough to believe what he said shall live on and get through. It's going to happen. I promise. The Bible says so. Many people have said so. A lot have followed through history. Because guess what we're looking forward to? There's another day coming. It'll be another earthquake. It'll be another shakedown. There's going to be the sound of a trumpet. How many of y'all believe Jesus is going to return? Now hold on. Check us out. That's cool. Now, I don't want him to return today. In fact, you know, this may sound weird to you. Every morning I say, Jesus, give us one more day. I sound like Abraham all the time. Jesus, give us, if you were going to come today, can we have one more day? I still got a friend left that needs to have their stone rolled away. I don't know about y'all, I still got a lot of friends. If the trumpet went off today, guess what? How many of you in this room are heading on? Some of y'all staying here. Some of y'all are going, well, Pastor Ayers, you don't understand. When I was a baby, they gave me a little Bible. I said, I know, but you never read it. Well, Pastor Ayers, you don't understand. I got a church membership card. Ha! So does the devil. He joined every church. You know what God's looking for? Followers. That's all he's ever looked for. In fact, the reason I can preach is because Jesus is pretty cool. He's like real straightforward. Jesus said, you want to be my disciple? Follow me. Lord, do I have to understand all that you're doing? You can't. Follow me. I'd have been an awful disciple. I'd have wore Jesus out every moment of the day. I'd be like, Jesus, how you do that walking on the water thing? That's pretty cool. Can I do it? Y'all have had a whole chapter on, can I do it? And I can't. And then you know what? I wouldn't have been at the tomb either. I'm just going to go ahead and fess up. Because guess who was there? Romans. And guess what? I had a lot of sense. Guess what Romans would do? Kill you. They'll kill you.
You know why those disciples weren't there? Because Romans were there. You know who was there? Women. Because their fellowship was greater than their fear. And may that be said of you. He went on. He got out. He came to us. He saved all of us. Jesus, he's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples. Y'all can disagree with me all you want. I will lovingly, not arrogantly, just tell you, you're wrong. Go read the Word of God, not some comic book at the Christian bookstore. The Word of God. What does he say constantly? As soon as God does something big, go and what? What do we do least of? We don't tell anybody. I love this one. Well, my faith is my personal experience. Really? Where'd you get that? What psychology book did you read that out of? Jesus said, your faith's not personal. Your faith is universal. It's mine. We don't have faith without Jesus. We don't have anything to faith in. Jesus says, I'm going to overcome death. And I'm going to keep overcoming death, and I'm going to keep overcoming death, and you will live with me forever. That's the gospel.
So two things. Follow. Yeah.
And go.
Pretty cool, isn't it? Follow and what else?
Go.
Aren't those God's rhythms? Jesus says, come follow me. Guess what? They followed him all the way to death, and then God releases them out of the tomb. And he goes and gets his disciples. And then what's the first word he tells them? Go. Now, this is a word that messes up the church severely. He doesn't say, go slowly. He doesn't say, make sure all the committees are in agreement. He doesn't say, now make sure the shushers are comfortable. He says, go quickly and tell them I'm alive. So today, guess what? Those of you who follow, go quickly. Tell him he's alive. I hope every restaurant in Bowling Green today is disrupted by the resurrection. As living followers of Jesus Christ come into the restaurant full of joy and big tips. Did y'all get that one? Full of joy and what? There you go. They ought to say, there come those big tippers, those people who love the Lord. Unfortunately, here's what they say. Here come those complainers, those who expect much and give little. Totally opposite of Jesus. He who gave it all and expected nothing in return. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It means this. I want to help some of you. You got it backwards. When you get the scripture backwards, it'll mess you up. Some of you believe love wins. Love doesn't win. Love's not God. Love's not God. That's why it's so important that you get all your children to at least their 4-year-old Sunday school class so they can learn the scripture. It doesn't say love is God. It says God is love. God wins. Because we can't love far enough to get out of the tomb. But God loves us so much that he sent his one and only son, that whosoever anybody that would believe shall not perish, but will have what? It works. Doesn't it, Pastor Billy? It works. You know why? Because God said so. All right, guess what's going to happen right now? Many of you are going to believe. Y'all okay with that? How many of y'all believe in a little bit today? Watch this. I've finished talking about Easter. But you know what my prayer is? That Easter won't finish talking to you. And he'll talk to you right now. Guess what? In a room this size with all you beautiful people, some folks need to be saved today. I don't know of a better day to get saved than on the day that he made it available. Do you? I don't know of a better day to be baptized than on the very day he was resurrected.
And if you all who follow Jesus don't believe that's the core message of the church, I pray for your salvation. Because you've been conned by the church demon. What do you think Jesus is going to ask you? How many potlucks you went to? How many conferences you went to? How many puppet shows you did? Or Christian devotions you had? Have you ever read the New Testament? None of that's in there. Let me tell you what's in there. Men and women who each and every day woke up and said, "You are my Jesus. We'll heal the sick. We'll tell the destitute, come on, God will bring you to life." In fact, you and I get to carry this message in our life. That is impossible becomes possible in Christ. Is that not our message? The message of Christ in us to the world. So some of you today, guess what? Go ahead and stand with me. We're coming to this altar. I want you to listen. We got plenty of time. I'm so glad that you decided to be here today to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The moment of resurrection. Watch this. Jesus, let me put it where you can understand it. How many of y'all have ever heard this? Greatest show on earth. How many of y'all have ever heard that phrase somewhere in your life? Greatest show on earth. Some of you who are a little older, if you got to go to a carnival or the fair came to town, they would say what? Greatest show on earth. Let me tell you the truth, though. You know what Jesus is? He's not the greatest show. He's the only show. He's the only one that's ever risen from the dead. And he can save you right now. We're going to have some pastors here at this altar. Man, why don't you follow Jesus? You say, what's he going to do? Is he going to make me good? No, he's going to make you alive. Because you know what I'm talking to in here? There's why there's an energy in here. There's not an energy in here because we have connected karma. This ain't my name is Earl. This is my name is Jesus. And my name is Jesus says, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we all need grace. Those of us who are pretty nice and those of us who are just mean, we all need grace. Those of us who are really good looking and those of us who get by, we all need God's grace. So pray with me. I'm going to ask you to come forward and receive Christ. If you're yet to be baptized and you watch the baptisms today and you say, you know, I really need to get that taken care of. Guess what? You can be baptized next service. Or if you'd like to slide home, get you some shorts, but you don't have to worry about this. God has provided this week. We said, Lord, we need to make a way whoever needs to get baptized. He sent us over to that Fruit Balloon place. And guess what? We got whatever size or shape you are, we got something that'll fit you. We got it fits anything kind of clothes back there. What do you think about that? Not one size fits all. We got it fits whosoever. But let me tell you what fits whosoever. Jesus Christ. Amen. So would you pray with me, man? Maybe this is your day. We love you here at Hillview. I know we're crazy. I know we appear like crazy people to people who don't believe he's risen. But I'm staking my everything that Jesus rose from the grave. What about you? I mean, I don't have anything else to tell you. I'm sorry I'm not fancy and cool and I ain't got some cool little glasses and highlighted hair and a hemp necklace so I can fit in. At my age, that would look very disgusting. Chris, don't you do that either. It looks very weird at our age. I don't like electric cars because I like to make noise. And I have a carbon footprint that looks like Bigfoot right now. I tell you what I'm into, though, something that'll last. Any person in this room today that receives Jesus Christ will never be torn away from that life ever. I don't have any better news than that. And you know why? There's not. It's the greatest message forever. And so come and receive it today. Don't let the crowd shake you up. I'm glad to see everybody here. God brought a lot of you here today to be saved. He brought some of you here to be baptized. He brought some of you here just to tell you, hey, remember what you've been missing? I love you. It's the family of God. Hillview, I want you to know, whether you're here a lot or whether you're here occasionally, we love you. But I'd kind of get used to it because heaven's like forever. If somebody's made you mad at church, you might as well get over that because you got to live with them in heaven. What are you going to be, ticked off at eternity for them?
You say, well, there's some real bad people that go to church. There are. They're like you. That's the problem we have with church. People are like me here. There's sinners who need grace. Let me tell you what else is here. There's a lot of people here that have been forever changed. I'd meet some of them. Beautiful young ladies like Sally who teach and are baptized in the name of Jesus. Thanks, Sally, for being obedient to God. Come on, church, today. Let God have His way. Lord, as we open this altar, only You can save anybody. And so, Jesus, we declare that name at this altar. Listen, ask Him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I believe You died on the cross. And just like they said today, You're risen. Come into my life. Now listen, look at me. You don't have to keep your eyes closed to pray. God can hear you. You ready? Jesus desires that you be saved. He died so that you could be forgiven. He's risen so that you could live. Why would you turn that message away? Would you help me understand? For those of you that like to be intellectual, I grew up that way, believe it or not. I grew up with the logic being demanded, and I appreciate it. I don't know logically and intellectually why you would turn that message away. It makes no sense. Well, I got good news. In the 21st century, on an Easter Sunday morning, in a small town in South Central Kentucky, in Bowling Green, Kentucky, at a little old church called Hillview Heights Church, there is a message of forever being offered, and some will receive it. Others will follow it, but we all have its possibility. So you know what? I have the privilege of saying, come, be saved, be changed, live forever and ever. My brothers and sisters, friends, fellow human beings, followers of Jesus Christ, this altar is open, and I invite you now to come and pray, come and respond, come and receive Christ, come and be baptized. And as you come, may God change you forever. Come on, church. Thank you for coming. As you come, come on, church. Come on. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.